Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
You have to be ready, which is something good to tell your kids learning to drive, right? Every one of them, I told you can't trust anybody to be a defensive driver. I have to tell you this. I come from a place that's the best place to learn how to drive defensively. I come from Southern California. And you learn that anything can happen. Now, I have to tell you, I had to learn how to drive in weather when I came out here, but that's a totally different story. When it rained out there, people didn't realize it was raining. Either they would do one of two things, drive really slow, like the road was going to erode in front of them, or they would drive so fast that they'd be high-planing all over the place. But, again, the question is, are you ready? Now, if this was one of those shows that what they would do is they would hype up the crowd. Are you ready? Are you ready? And get you all cheered and just all excited about what's going to happen next. Like, what is going to happen next? Like, if I told you that $5,000 is either going to drop from the ceiling, come through the doors, or pop out from underneath your seats, would you be ready? Because the first one to grab them would get the money. You would be ready, wouldn't you? Mamas would push daughters away. Husbands would push wives away. Everybody would be groping for the money. You're saying, what does that have to do with church? Well, today we're going to be ready, learn how to be ready to be used. So if you would, we're going to jump from Romans today. And look at Luke chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5. And then if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God. Look at verse 1. So it was as the multitudes pressed about him, Jesus, to hear the Word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled their boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Father, we just pray as we come to this passage, as we come to this real life story, that we would put ourselves in place of Peter, that we put ourselves in the understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ and to be ready and to forsake all. Lord, we pray your blessing be upon this time. As we sang earlier, we pray, "Give us Jesus." Lord, let that really be the song and cry of our heart. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want you to take note of one thing first. And that is, in verse 1, we find out that people want to hear the Word of God. Now, there's nothing else, really, that can help people except God and His Word. Because, see, God's Word gives hope, gives purpose, gives understanding. gives truth. Oh, the world so needs truth right now. They need to hear truth. Now, it may not come automatically. You might say, oh, well, it doesn't always work that way. But let me just give you a quick example. Again, this morning, I went somewhere and the person wasn't quite ready to hear what I had to say. So all I could tell him was just a simple truth. I said, honestly seek it to know the truth. Find yourself a Bible. If you don't have one, I'll get one. No, I got one. I said, open it up to the Gospels. And I just said, Jesus, if you're real, show yourself to me. And if you have any questions, ask me. And he said, you know what? I've looked into all this stuff before. I go, I know, but I'm just challenging you to do this. If you do it with a sincere heart. He goes, I'll take you up for the challenge. See, the truth is the only thing that can set us free. And the freedom of that truth can only come in Jesus Christ. So it's an understanding of one thing, is that people that are spiritually hungry are going to want the Word of God. The second thing I want you to take note of is look at verse 2. What are the disciples doing? They're cleaning and washing and mending their nets, because that's what they were doing. See, the nets, what they would have to do is wash them, because if they didn't, they would corrode and rot, and they'd fall apart. So understanding that there's always prep work to be done, always. You're doing it right now. As you sit here right now, as we're digging into the Word of God, you're saying, Lord, speak to me. I need to hear from you. I need to be encouraged by you. I need to be guided by you. I need to learn from you. In essence, what we do here is we sit at his feet. We ask the Lord to open his word to us. But see, it also, like I said before, if people need to be hungry for the word of God for them to truly come to a spiritual understanding of who Jesus Christ is. But if you and I aren't ready, if we're not prepared, then again, then who's going to share it with them? Now, you don't have to be a professor. Remember, the fishermen that we were talking about here weren't the elite in education, if you will. And we're going to find that out, who God uses. So, and I want you to take note in verse 3. As the people were pressing in upon him, what did the Lord do? He asked Simon, hey, let me use your boat. Let me use your boat and just cast off a little bit so that I can use the water as an acoustic and basically pump up the volume so that everybody can hear. Now, picture Peter pulling it out and probably still working on the boat as he's listening to the Lord. But still, and using Peter's boat as a pulpit, it's the understanding that the Lord may ask of you of something that you have, whether it be your time or some possession that you have or whatever it is in your hand. The Lord will always, in his time, use anyone that's available to him, because you never know what or how or when he will use, whether our stuff or us. Be ready. Now look at verses 4 and 5. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down your net. Peter and the others, probably Andrew, James, and John, toiled all night without success. They were experienced fishermen. They knew where to fish, and where you fish was in the shallows at night. They fished by net. It wasn't a line, but a net that they cast out that didn't go real deep. So again, to catch it would be at night and it would be closer to the shallows offshore. They toiled all night and they caught nothing. But notice what the Lord says, launch out into the deep. Completely opposite of an experienced fisherman. The Lord was asking him to do something that was totally not right for a fisherman. Sometimes the Lord asks us to do stuff like that too, that makes no sense. Because we go by our experience and who we are. I know me. I know what I can do and I can't do. But again, what we do there is we limit God to what he has created us for. And that's for him, to bring him glory, to fellowship with him. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. Better than our experience. But still, he had no success, and the Lord knew where the fish were. See, our experience is limited. Here's a lesson for all of us to learn. It's a constant reminder. You are dependent upon him, not your skill, not your intellect, not what you know. Your dependency is upon him, and it's always will be that way. But notice, too, the Lord told him to do what his experience and knowledge knew what not to do. He launched out into the deep. He didn't hug the shoreline of what he knew. He went out into the deep, ready. The other thing I want you to take note of is you wonder what was going on in Peter's mind. Lord, we toiled all night. We caught nothing, Lord. You understand we're experienced fishermen, maybe? But then nevertheless, was he humoring the Lord? Do we humor the Lord? Do we say, well, okay, Lord, we know that you work through other things and other people, but me, no, I will go to church. I will look like I'm studying and everything, but I know and you know you'll never use me. Who am I? And we limit the Lord. Are we ready? Ready to obey him even when it doesn't seem to make sense? Are we teachable? And can we come with humility? Ready to do what he asks of us. Look at verse 7. 6 and 7, excuse me. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. The nets began to break and the ships began to sink. See, there's something that we have to take note of. Obedience and service doesn't mean it's going to be easy after success. No, see, success produces other problems. Success, if you will, is a blessing, but a lot of times it's more work. Does that hinder us? Is that, Lord, I don't want to go around and to be that light for you because I know what happens. When the light is turned on, that's when the people come to you. That's when the mobs come. That's when people in need. No, I'd rather turn off the light. I'd rather just hold back because, you know, it's just easier that way. Because to understand that when somebody comes, then means that you minister to that person. You do that labor. But I also want you to take notice of something else. They signal to their partners to come help. See, the thing is, a shared work is a lighter load. To think of it just selfishly that I can do this, that it's all about me, then again, you're doomed for failure. And what you do is you eliminate people from having a blessing. Now, see, when we're serving the Lord, when we're ready for the Lord, when we're ready to be used by the Lord, it's the understanding of when we need help. Yes, there is humility in that, too. That when we need help, we signal for help. I still remember reading a story in Watchman Nee's book. I don't remember the title of it. It'll come to me in a minute. But in the book, he says that he was swimming with a bunch of believers. And one guy went out too deep and he started to drown. And he was standing right next to an experienced swimmer. And he said, why aren't you going out to save him? He goes, gotta wait, gotta wait. And as the guy was sinking, as his arm went up like, help, that's when he went out and helped him. See, he was struggling to do it himself. I can do it. I can do it. And then what he found is that, no, he couldn't do it. And it's a lesson for us. The Lord isn't going to isolate you. He's not going to put you on an island. He's not going to say, okay, now you need to do it by yourself. Understand, Billy Graham, though we look at him as a great evangelist, he had a group of men around him. He had a team. And he never went anywhere without that team because he knew he needed help. We all need help. We need each other in the help, in the work. Look at verses 8 and 9. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they had taken. See, the right response is a sense of unworthiness. If God can use a stick, a rock, if God can use a river, a lake, a tree, a boat, a donkey, a lion, a whale, you don't think he can use you? We always again think that God has to have this great intellectual person or this outgoing person or this charismatic person or blah, 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 blah. No. It's like it's been shown in the past. See, it used to be an evangelistic type thing that you do in high schools. And what you do is you get the quarterback or the cheerleader. You get the most popular kids. You turn their lives around. Because if you turn their lives around, then guess what happens? The other kids will fall along. Guess what? They learned that didn't really work. It was the kid in the back with his hair in front of his face that was wearing maybe upheaval clothes, that was hurting, that was in pain, that had no one. And they found that they reached that person, then he would be on fire. No, see, God takes the weak things of the world. God takes the things that the world would not deem as being needful or value. Isn't that good news? It's good news because God uses anyone that really does want to just be available. Taking that too, look at verse 10. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." See, Simon, I have a higher calling for you. A calling that is a heavenly calling, not fish. Not just to catch fish. Not just to labor every day in the sun, doing what you know to do to provide. Peter had a wife. We don't know if he had kids. But every day, fish, except for the Sabbath. He needed to provide for his family. In the sun, in the wind, in the cold, day after day, month after month, year after year, work, work, work. See, that's the way some of us feel. We feel that's all we're called to do is to work, but that's not true. Hear this and know this to be true. You are not called just to work. You're called to labor and serve the Lord. And whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly unto Him. Understanding that God uses everything about us. Experiences, through jobs, through life, through skill, through talents, abilities or non-abilities. God can take anything and use it for His purpose and for His glory. It's not about the day to day that you feel like you are just again punching in a clock. Are you ready that when you punch in that clock at any time, the Lord could either speak to you or through you or teach you something about life that you're going through? Lessons always can be learned because to God, we are disciples. Do you know what disciple means? It means a learner. That you're teachable, that you're ready. That even in the mundane things of just doing what you're supposed to be doing, there is a lesson learned there. It's the discipline of obeying regardless of how you feel. And understanding that it pleases Him. It pleases the Lord. Now, a few things to take from a fisherman. A fisherman faces storms, setbacks, failures, equipment problems. It takes courage and a daring spirit. He must have patience, endurance, determination, and faith. Think with me. It was just an ordinary day, doing ordinary work, in ordinary obedience, and it brought something extraordinary. Just because he obeyed. Even though it went beyond his comprehension and understanding. Verse 11. So, when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. That word forsook means to let go. What are you holding on to? What keeps you? It also means to give up. What are you not willing to give up? Time? Your possession? Your personality? God doesn't understand, this is who I am. To keep no longer means all that I have, all that I am, all that I think about myself, all the time, everything to be at your disposal for you to use anytime, anywhere, however you please, to be ready. Four scriptures I'm going to pass on to you. Only four. And then we'll call it a day. The first I want you to hear is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." We are lights of this world, whether you like it or not. Stop putting a shade over your head. You are a light. Why? Not because of anything wonderful about you. It's the one that you gave yourself to. It says light shining through you. I know you've experienced this because everyone does as a believer. It's interesting. I find it fascinating. Let's see that there's a light illuminating from your eyes that sometimes you just don't see and you don't understand. Oh, maybe not everybody will perceive it at times, but I find it fascinating because it always seems to happen right when you need it the most. Whether you failed the Lord, you're struggling in something, or you're just down, somebody looks at you, somebody sees something in you and says, "Are you a believer? I need your prayers." Or a child will look at you with a smile on his face or hers as if they see something, even though you got a frown on yours. Or a dog takes notice of you. And I know this sounds kind of spiritual, and that's okay, because I have found all these things myself. The whisper of God that says, "I see you, and so do others." You are shining. So sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Set your heart apart under the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, very familiar verse. "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." Now look, we all have a different intellect. We all understand a certain degree differently. But see, that's the thing is God is the teacher, and God desires for us to be students of his word, to learn, to grow, to dig into it, to let him speak to us. And as he speaks to us, to allow him to use whatever it is that he's trying to teach us. Because then we'll find that we're the ones that he wants to share it with somebody else. Or he just wants to speak to you in an intimate way. It's the way God works. Have you figured that out? Understand, it takes sometimes just sweat. Sometimes it's just hard. Sometimes you're tired. Sometimes you're hungry. Oh, excuses are a lot. But you'll find something out. Is that you can do anything else and you're fine. You ever notice how much energy you get when you're reading something you want to read? Or watch what you want to watch? Or do what you want to do? But to sit down and read the word sometimes can be laborious. Why do you think that is? Because it's not a boring book. I'll tell you that. It's the voice of God speaking to you. Titus 3:1. Be ready for what? Every good work. Be ready. Now, it's not like you're all going to go out there and all of a sudden all you're doing is busy, busy, busy work. All the Lord's asking us is, hey, are you available for me? Are you doing the prep work? Are you washing your nets? Or are you letting them erode? Are you being active in your faith with me? Because, see, that shows really how much you trust me. And then, will you allow me to use you and how I see fit? Not necessarily what you think or predetermine. And then the last one I'll share with you is in Luke chapter 12, verse 40. Therefore, you also be ready. Why? For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. It's really important for us to understand this last one. Why? Because as things are happening around us, time's getting short. Oh, I don't know the day or the hour. No man knows the day or the hour. But all we can do is, as Jesus said, as we see these things happen, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Things are happening around us. He can come back anytime. Are we ready? Are we ready to be busy doing what the Lord wants us to do and not fall into the sleep that so many are? Because it's all about me, baby. It's all what I want to do. It's my time. I get bored easy. I work hard hours. There's nothing wrong with a little me time. And you know what? There is a time for rest and relaxation. But listen, there's never a time to shut the door on the Lord. Never. Whether in rest or work, in sleep or sleepless nights, we do all things wholeheartedly unto the Lord, expecting, being ready, waiting, what, for His return, being busy at what He's called us to do. Whatever it is He's called you to do, do it wholeheartedly unto Him and be ready. Be ready for those that are hurting, that are lonely, that have no hope. Have no peace. We live among broken people. Everybody's broken. We have the answer. And if you will, just bear with me for a second. If we're not feeling that peace, then we'll find that a lot of times it's because we are restricting the Lord to minister to us how He desires. Say that again. If you're not feeling the peace of the joy of the Lord, it's because we are not getting what we want done in our lives. Allow God to do as He pleases, and then you will find the peace and joy and the love of God. That you are so loved, just as the songs we sing. Now you know why Caleb paused and said, give me Jesus. And then he went over it again and again. Give me Jesus. Because again, if you can just visualize in your mind for a second that Lord of Lords and King of Kings in a long robe and your head hanging down, it's your head that He lifts up. Because He does see you. So, pretty simple, pretty quick, Some of you are thinking, man, the ladies should go away more often. We can have shorter messages. Really contemplate these things. Pray them through. Talk to your Lord and see if these things aren't so. And be ready. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the truth of your word. Your word gives us hope. And your word gives us life. Lord, I pray for each of us that we'd find the peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord, if there are things in our lives that we're restricting from you, we just pray, Lord, help us to just let go. Lord, if we're holding you back because we think we can't, then we still haven't got a clear vision of who you are, because there is nothing you can't do. There is nothing impossible with you. So, Father, just pray that you would work in our hearts for your purpose and your glory this morning. Use us the way you see fit and help us just to yield to the workable, powerful hands that are yours. Lord, encourage us this morning that you do see us, that you know us, that you love us, that you want to use us. Not for our own self-worth, but the understanding of how worthy you are. And that we're joined with you. The partnership that we truly have in this life is with you. So bless all of our hearts and our ears for hearing this morning. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.